You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here with today's message is Pastor Ralph.
Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 21. In this section that we saw last week, the writer continues to show us the faith walk of those who came and went before us, and they did it all by faith. If you're with me, say amen. Verse 21 says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped leaning on the top of his staff. And listen, what we know is that Joseph blessed both of Joseph's sons. Their names were Ephraim as well as Manasseh. And guys, we also know that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And back in Genesis 32 and 24, he had a visit from the angel of the Lord, and he wrestled with him, and he blessed him, and he changed his name. And the reason why he changed his name, I'm just throwing this in parenthetically, is because he changed who he was. He was no longer the supplanter. He was no longer the one that was trying to get over. He changed his name to one who was now a godly man. And I think about us, guys, even in Christ, and he's changed our names. We were no good. We were sinners. We were on our way to hell. And God changed our names from sinner to saint. And now we belong to him. And he changed our name because we have been changed in our hearts. And we now walk with him to do his will. Amen. Amen. Verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. And look, we know that Joseph, most of his adult life, his brothers had taken and sold him into slavery. Most of his adult life was spent in Egypt, and he knew that was not the land of promise. He wanted to be buried, even if it was in only his bones, in the land of Canaan, the earthly promised land. And of course, they honored his request and buried his bones there. Verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And guys, in regard to the king's commandment, look, Israel, even living in Egypt, they were becoming more numerous than the Egyptians. And listen, the king said, look, told the midwives that when an Israeli child is being born, kill him, because they're becoming too numerous. And of course, the midwives wasn't going for it. They say that the Israeli children, they're very fast, they're quick, and before we can get there, the child is born. And they were seeking children. Of course, they would have killed Moses, but his mother knew it was something special about him. I dare say God let her know that it was something special about him. And they hid him for 3 months and then put him in a little canoe. Not a canoe, a canoe, and let him drift down by the Pharaoh's daughter. She raised him as her own child. It says again, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And again, his sister went and told the king's daughter, I know his mother, we can get her and use her to raise him. And listen, raise Moses she did. But not just in the ways of life. She raised him in the ways of his life as an Israeli and let him know that, look, though you're here in the king's place, in the castle, you don't belong to the king. You're one of God's kids and you belong to him. So she brought him up right, let him know who he really was. And when he came of age, he realized who he truly was. Any more bullishness? It says, choosing rather, look at verse 25, to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. In other words, he yielded to his higher calling. Moses could have had it made in the castle. He would have been okay. He would have had all the earthly accolades that anybody could have. But what he knew is that though he was raised by Egyptians and though he was in the castle, he did not belong to them, as his father was the God of glory. In verse 26, we see it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, in other words, God's greater riches, talking about eternal riches, than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And listen, he knew he was going to have to go through some things. Of course, he tried to take the bull by the horn, and he started to kill Egyptians on his own. But ultimately, God already had a call on his life, knew exactly what he would go through, and go through, indeed, he did. Guys, please be prayerful with me as I continue in this series, Christ Alone is Worthy. And Father, as we dive deeper into this great book, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll touch and bless and minister to us in a mighty and a special way. Father God, I ask that you would hide me behind your cross. And Father, allow these words that I teach and preach to be words that you have already had me to study for this congregation. Lord, I had in mind who I thought would be here today, but I see some faces that I never even thought would be here, but they're here. But Lord, you knew that, though I did not. And I pray that you just feed us all, that you bless us all, that you minister to us all, and allow these truths to fall in our hearts with a place where it would do the most good. As we pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake, amen and amen. Verse 27, continuing right along, as he continues to speak about Moses, he says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And guys, what we know is that God is spirit, and though he had never physically seen God, saw God, he knew that he was alive and well, and knew that he was there for the purpose of using Moses, or using him in a mighty and a special way. He goes on in verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn could touch them. And look, he's speaking of some of the trials and some of the plagues that God allowed on Egypt. And with each passing trial, Pharaoh kept acting like he would release the children of Israel, but he did not. But there was one last trial, and it was the one which the death of the firstborn, after which he had no choice but to release them. And guys, I'd like us to take a look at that. All these inferences in regard to the Old Testament saints and how they were able to get over by faith, we can't look at all of them because of time. But this one I would like us to take a look at. Go with me to the book of Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, second book. And that should be page 62 if you're using a pew Bible. And we just want to look at a couple of verses here. Exodus chapter 12. And I'm going to begin our reading at verse 1 of Exodus. What we know is you're looking at God that had been sending plagues to Egypt back to back to back. And listen, they were wearing out Egypt, but they were not affecting the children of God. And this particular plague would be the last one. This would be the one that would cause Pharaoh to let his people go. Exodus 12, beginning at verse 1. If you're there, say amen. And the verse says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. In other words, guys, he's saying to them, look, it's a new beginning. We're getting ready to start something brand new here. It says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man, look what he says, a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for every house or foreign house. And we see that God's given them specific instructions, and they are to carry it out specifically. Verse 4 says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. And look, he's saying if the household is too small, then you get together with your neighbor and you guys get together and you work out the math. Verse 5 says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. And he's saying, listen, a baby animal, and you'll take it from them. In verse 6 it says, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. In other words, he's telling everybody, specifically at this time, we will collectively do it together. Verse 7 says, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses where they shall eat it. And listen, even if you were getting together with your neighbor, you were all inside, you would strike it on the two side posts and you would take the blood and put it across. And it's all for a reason and all for a purpose. He goes on in verse 9, eat not of it raw, nor sodden, and that means boiled. They needed to be prepared a certain way. It says that all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. In other words, you're gonna roast this thing complete. And guys, take note, it's specific, and they had to go through this thing, and they needed to do it exactly as God said do it. In verse 10 it says, and ye shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning. That which remaineth, it says, unto the morning, ye shall burn with fire. Again, specific instructions. Verse 11, and thus shall ye eat it, or shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is, look what it says, the Lord's Passover. In other words, he's saying, make sure you're fully dressed and actually be ready to go, because when we finish this here, when we do what I'm going to do, you're going to have to leave. Verse 12 says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and against all, look, the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. He says, I am the Lord. In other words, he's saying, look, our God, who is a God of love, guys, he's also a God of judgment, especially when you come against his people. Now, he's been going back and forth with the king, and the king said he would do it, then he wouldn't. And look, this last curse is going to be the curse that makes him release his people once and for all. Verse 13 says, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where ye are when I see the, he says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Hence the word Passover. And listen, he was using blood, we know, in the temple worships during that time, and he's using the blood even here as he's having them to mark the houses. And when he sends the death angel out, and where he would see the blood, he would pass over, and they would not literally be judged and thrown into Hades. And guys, that same blood, and listen, that's what he had them to do for that time until Christ came. And right now, as believers, we have Christ's blood on our heart. And look, if I die today or die 2 years from today, I have the blood of Christ on my heart. And because of that, the death angel will pass over me. And yes, I will die once physically. But that second death would send sinful man to hell. I will never taste of that death. Amen. Verse 13 says, and the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by ordinance, he says, forever. And listen, yes, forever, until Christ came and brought back that sacrifice that would surely be forever. For sake of time, please skip with me to verse 21. And then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, which is a plant, and says, and dip it in the blood and in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood, in other words, up and across, he says, and in the basin, and none of you shall, look what he says, go out at the door of this house until morning. Again, specific instructions, and if you did not keep the specific instructions, you would be utterly done away with. Verse 23 says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the side post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that he shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye this service? That ye say, or ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, and when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And listen, God speaking, Moses speaking for God, and these folk are taking notes, mental notes, and they're going to do it exactly as Moses tells them to do. And the children of Israel, verse 28, went away and did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. It says, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon and of all the firstborn of cattle. In other words, whoever had a firstborn, they were going to die if you were not protected, hallelujah, by the blood. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and I'm sure there was, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, he says, take your flocks, your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. In other words, you guys get out of here, and if you leave, I'll be blessed, because we can't take one more plague. He goes on, verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent about the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. In other words, if you don't leave, there's no way we can take the next plague if God decides to send one. And the people took their dough before it was kneaded, their dough before it was leavened, and their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes, upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And the verse says, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And listen, the Bible, or at least the King James, is being kind. They weren't lending them anything. God sent them out with a high hand, and they gave up their treasures, their gold, their silver, and they just simply wanted them to leave. Verse 37 says, and the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt, and they could not tarry there. They prepared for themselves any victual. In other words, God had already told them, get ready to leave, because when my angel comes through, this thing is over, and you'll be leaving. Verse 40 says, for now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It was night to be much, it was a night much to be observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel in all their generations. And I wanted us to look at this mainly because of the blood, because that blood is still significant. Not the blood of animals, but the blood of Jesus Christ. And because we have his blood applied to the hearts of every soul that knows him as Lord and Savior, you will never, never taste that second death. Amen. Back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 11. Look at verse 28. And the verse says, through faith, talking about Moses, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, it says, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians as saying, it says to do, or as saying to do, were drowned. And look, what we know is that Pharaoh, though he let the children of Israel go, he had a change of heart. He's sitting there stewing and knowing that God had beaten him and this thing was bothering him so, and his pride got the best of him. And he said, I just can't do it. We are not going to let them go. And he went after them. And listen, it was his pride which was his undoing. As the children of Israel went on dry land, Pharaoh said, fine, if they can do it, we can do it. But man, when God is with you, there's some things that you can do that the world can't do. And they went in after them. And of course, Pharaoh's army got drowned. Guys, life without God is better than any kind, other kind of life without him. And we know that on this side we get a few years, 70, 80. Sister Alva got 105, but then it's over, and then comes eternity. And guess what? If you know him for your pardon of your sins, you're living right now and beginning your eternity. Amen. He says, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea, verse 29, as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying, it said to do with drown. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Again, the Hebrew writer showing us all these things that the old covenant saints did, and they did it by faith in God. And look, what we know is that no war was ever fought that way, that they went around 7 times, they gave a holy shout, and the walls came down. It says in verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. And listen, here she is, a woman of ill repute, who's referenced again in God's word because she believed God. And listen, even when the spies came in, she hid them and sent them out another way, not so much because she believed them, but she believed the God of glory who had been wreaking havoc all in the land, and she believed that he would be the only one that could save her. And they told her, you stay in your house, you bring your family in this house, and everyone in this house will be saved because of your belief in our God. And they were saved. And again, she's mentioned in Scripture. It says in verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, it says, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. I'm remembering Daniel from Daniel 6, quenched the violence of the fire, still remembering Daniel, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and Samson surely had that revelation in regard to his being sinful, and asked God to use him one more time, and he did, and made him strong. It says, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised their life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And listen, he's talking about an eternal resurrection. And a whole lot of them folk back in that time, they could have said no to God. They could have went and walked with the enemy. They could have sold out, but they held out and said no, because I believe that God is going to take care of me. If not here on this side, I'm going to be okay on the other side. And guys, these guys walked in faith. They lived in faith. And look, the writer's trying to help the Hebrews that are reading these scriptures and trying to help us as well, that as long as we stay on the ship, as long as we walk with the Lord, he's going to strengthen us and he's going to empower us to do what he would have us to do. And whether it's on this side, and if it's not, it will be on the other side. And we need by faith to realize that that's going to be okay. That he has already laid out our lives. He's set it in motion. And he has us, this group of folk that's in this building, so that we can tell other people, hallelujah, about the one who has blessed us and maybe thereby helping to save a soul from hell. And he's referencing all these guys so that he'll encourage us so that we can do what they did. And we do it, hallelujah, by faith. Amen. He says in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. He goes on, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, simply put, mean cut in half. And they did that for their faith. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom he said the world was not worthy. And he's talking about their world system as well as our world system. He said they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report. Look what he says. Through faith. Received not the promise. In other words, Christ had not even come yet. He goes on verse 40. God having provided, look, some better thing for us. And by the way, that better thing is Jesus Christ. He said that they without us should not be made perfect. Guys, this chapter, many call chapter 11, and as we go into 12, they call it the Hall of Fame of Faith. And look, they were just regular everyday people, but they were regular everyday people that believed God. And the question is, and I think it raises the question for all of us, do we believe God? Do we believe he's working on our behalf? And listen, even if we're going through some things and have gone through some things, and look, some of us have gone through many things, do we believe that he is still worthy to be praised? Do we believe he's still looking out for our best interests? Do we believe that he's going to somehow work it out? Because many times we go to our own devices to try to fix me. And guys, I found out a long time ago, this here I can't fix. So I go to the God of glory.
You have been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. You also can email them at newbeginningslamp, LA.